Hi, and welcome to episode 349 of No Crying in Baseball, the A's episode. My name's Patty. I'm here with my friend Potty Mouth. Hi, Potty Mouth.
Hey there. I'm curious to know what else is going on with just the A's, or you're just talking about my stellar, you know, report cards over the years.
Well, yours and mine both, because we're, you know, we're overachievers for sure. But right. No, the Oakland A's, which are the Oakland A's just for this season,
right,
have an agreement now to move to Sacramento. Mm-hmm. They're not going to be the Sacramento A's. They're just going to be the A's until they go to their forever home in Las Vegas. So they're going to be sharing the Sutter Hill Park, which is where the San Francisco AAA Rivercats play. So mm-hmm. the Major League team and the AAA team for San Francisco are going to share this ballpark for three seasons, 25, 26, and 27, with an option for 28, although 28 is supposed to be when Las Vegas is available. The media can't even agree on how big the ballpark is. One said fewer than 11,000 seats. Ooh. The other one said 14,000 seats. But Sacramento is treating this as a chance to sort of bid for an expansion team, show how well they can do this.
Right.
So there you go. So just the A's.
Yeah. And in the Coliseum, their attendance hasn't even come close to approaching
the average 7,000.
Yeah. So there's plenty of room.
But, you know, a whole new audience who might just really be excited about having Major League Baseball to see.
I'm just wondering how the formatting is going to go, because there are many places where they list all the teams by the city. And so what are they getting?
Alphabetical order. A's are going to be first everywhere. Like, we'll give the A's a chance to be in first place.
That's looking on the bright side. Oh, man. I want to give a special shout out to our friends at Pinstripe Chronicles and the Upper Deck for hosting a marathon yesterday. These amazing people were on the air on YouTube for 12 hours straight, raising money to fight Parkinson's disease. And we got to do a guest spot from 9:30 in the morning till about 10:15. So I think I have the link somewhere. We'll put it in the show notes. And if you want to see us, we start at 2:18 pretty much.
It was really fun. I had a great time. And
yeah.
And look at us have, you know, with our civil conversations with Yankees fans.
Right.
We had a big AL East conversation. So if that's your bag, this was the 45 minutes to watch, because we represented, as they pointed out, three out of the teams on the AL East.
The top three. Which I am shocked as shit to be able to say about myself, but we're in the top three.
And we're very happy to contribute to a very worthy cause. On today's show, our boyfriends feature slow starts and homers with some help. This time, Strasburg means it. We're yanking Verdugo's chains. Well, everybody's yanking Verdugo's chains. The pitch clock and more pitchers are down. The police blotter, including Know Your Rights, That Ball Is Yours. And international baseball featuring questionable decisions. Cheers.
Cheers. All right, so in the off season, y'all know that we spent a lot of time picking our baseball boyfriends. We each picked one guy per team very carefully, because there was something that just called out to us about these guys. And now we're going to keep checking up on them, which I really appreciate. I like this opportunity to look at guys for other teams that I wouldn't normally if it weren't for this wonderful podcast. So my fantasy team is Potty Mouth Posse. And to keep the alliteration going, they are pooping out this week. They've been pooping out. Like, I don't understand why that we're doing so poorly. Well, one is Royce Lewis, I mentioned last week, of the Twins, that I knew he was going to be out for a while, that he had this horrible quad strain that he got on opening day. And the sad part is that he's missed the past two, three seasons because of injuries. Mm-hmm. He got a plasma-rich platelet injection for a grade 2 strain. And said, and I quote, "I think it's a little bit more severe than that. They're not really telling me exactly what it is, because I feel like whatever they tell me, I'm going to rush it either way. So that's where we're at." So I'm kind of thinking, you know, looking at his past experience in recuperating. And he actually also said things like, you know, comparatively, those injuries were a long time. And this one, he is expected to return, and I quote, "no sooner than June." So
oh,
for
dear.
Him, that's a short injury.
Oh,
but
dear.
But for me and my fantasy team, this is a major blow. No sooner than June. We're just beginning April. Fuck, that's 2 months.
If only there was a way to replace him on your team.
Yeah, if only. I don't know. I'm having issues with my replacements, and actually I'll get that at the end of this list. That part of the infield, third base, shortstop, I do have some options, so I think I can shuffle things around. I just haven't done it yet. Another decision I need to make, because this player is on the team, however, not doing great. Jorge Polanco, I was super excited about because there's that huge trade between the Twins and Seattle to get Polanco there, who's supposed to be, you know, this elder statesman, solid guy up the middle. He is really not pulling it together out there in Seattle. He is at the time of recording, just about double his career high strikeout rate, which means his strikeout rate right now is about 43%, up from 26. That's a lot.
Oh, it's a lot of strikeouts.
That's just swinging. Yeah. Somebody's got to help him with that. He's batting around 115. So thinking about that, is it a net plus for the Twins over this? So I really want to look back in the trade. Oh, actually, I just clicked over. He's up to 184. Bless him. He got a couple other hits. So he's up to 184, approaching that Mendoza line. So the Twins got four guys for Polanco. So one, Anthony DeSclafani, who I remembered from being a starting pitcher for the Giants last year, he was diagnosed, and you're going to get into this more, like so many other pitchers, with an elbow strain. And he had surgery, and he's going to miss the season. So this happened after the trade. So that was kind of like their star piece. They also got a relief pitcher, Justin Topa, who is on the IL with knee tendonitis. He should be back, but it's a little bit unclear when. And then the other two players that they got for the trade, Darren Brown and Gabriel Gonzalez, are both in high A. So maybe that will pan out down the long run, but it looks like for this year anyway, maybe it's a little bit of a wash between Polanco crashing and the pitcher injuries for the Twins. One guy I was super excited about, Kevin Kiermaier, who's playing for the Blue Jays, and I knew him for many years on the Rays. Also, he's having a Jorge Polanco start. They're just having a rough time adjusting. He was day-to-day, and they pulled him out, and it looked like he was going to go on the IL. And I was thinking, is this a real injury, or is this because he's 1-for-18?
Yeah, could which be either, is, right?
Yeah, sure. But they put him back in yesterday and today against the Yankees, and he did get his second hit of the season and an RBI on a force out. So I'm hoping, because I just have a lot of shuffling to do with my fantasy league, if I'm going to really sit down and see who is left that I can still put on of the guys that we picked that our friends haven't poached from us. Not poached. You know, I gave them up.
We released them.
I screwed up.
They got them on waivers.
Right. So I could get them back. Yeah, Kiermaier's average right now is 0.083. Hmm. That shit. That's
not going to get you points.
No, he has lovely eyes, though.
Oh, my.
He's kind of adorable. I need a little bit of sip here. Okay. I am holding a spot on my bench for Vaughn Grissom. Even though he could be playing soon. So he hasn't played all season. This is my Red Sox guy who I picked last year when he was with Atlanta, and he's my current forever boyfriend, for what it's worth. They're saying that hopefully he's going to begin his minor league rehab soon. He will be at Fenway for the home opener on the 9th, which is going to be a big, happy occasion, I'm hoping. He might need to fill Trevor Story's shoes. Because did I say, yeah, Trevor Story.
Trevor Story, yeah.
Oh, I'm two sips in and I'm already stuttering. Trevor Story's shoes, because Trevor Story was pulled out of the game yesterday, I think, with a probable shoulder dislocation. So that sucks, and we will see where we go with that. I have a couple bright spots, and one is you've taught me the new nickname for Ryan O'Hearn, who is Turn and Burn O'Hearn, mm-hmm. right?
Which That's
is
right.
I like that better than the Brohearn.
Yep, for sure.
Which is what we had gone with earlier. And I am super dependent on Mr. Ryan O'Hearn, and I am really happy that he's doing so well. I know against Pittsburgh on Friday, he was a single and a double short of the cycle, which means he got the two hardest parts, right?
He did.
He got the triple and the home run. The problem is, the O's don't play him against lefties.
They DH him against lefties, though.
Yeah,
okay. So that he's been DHing when Mountcastle frequently, not always.
Yeah.
They have a whole stable of designated hitters, but he's been one of them a couple of times if Mountie's playing first.
Yeah, it looked like he had just missed a couple games.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So that's not 100% for me, but I have zero backup on first base because I was counting on Cleveland bringing up Kyle Manzato. And they just have not done that. I'm guessing, what's his name? The brother. the Josh Naylor. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing he's doing all right. Dang it. Yeah, actually, Cleveland's on top, so there's that. Talking AL Central for a moment. No, this is NL Central. You know, the Central folks. That state of yours, Ohio. Ellie De La Cruz, my other favorite Ohio pick. Until opening day this year, and I meant to mention this last week, but, you know, we have a lot to say. Until opening day, he had been speaking just Spanish, and everything was going through his translator. And he took spring training sort of like to another level and not only used it to work on his play, but also to work on his English. And for his first full press conference of the season, he did it completely in English, which is amazing.
Good man. Yeah. That's great.
That means he has been putting in work. So not only in spring training, he's practicing with teammates. And he said, and I quote, "It's important to the fans to understand me and me understand the fans." So for him to put that out there, you know, power to you, Reds fans. That means you guys mean a lot to him and he wants to be there for the fans.
That's pretty impressive. I picked some boyfriends to tell you about based on weirdly bouncy home runs and
that's
guys getting over opening day slumps.
That's better than sucking.
For sure. So MJ Melendez, my guy from Kansas City. I always look at the stats for the past 7 days, so I know what's noteworthy since last we spoke. For the past 7 days, his OPS is 1.140. He's leading fantasy team. He had a two-run home run yesterday versus the White Sox, and it was interesting because it was tipped off the glove of the center fielder, Dominic Fletcher, and it looked by one angle like it just tipped off the glove and went over the wall, and by other angles, it looks like it might have hit the wall just a second before I hit his glove, mm-hmm. which would have meant it was a ground rule double.
Right.
But it would not have been, you know, the home run, but the manager of the White Sox said it looked like it just went over to him, so he didn't have them review it. And now he said later he kind of regrets that because now he's seen the replays and said, oh, shoot, they still would have lost. They still would have lost because it was a 3-0 win.
Okay.
So it didn't change the outcome, it would have changed that play itself. I do think that I misspoke when we did our terrible predictions because I should have also added the Royals to the fun to watch list because Melendez and Bobby Witt and Vinny's there. That's a lot of guys that are so much fun to watch. And so I'm going to expand. That doesn't have to be just one team. I think that the Royals are super fun to watch. Okay, cool. So Davis Schneider is my Toronto guy. I think when I talked about him, I didn't know that he had the nickname Babe Schneider given to him by Brandon Belt.
Oh, wow.
Last August, in fact.
That's cool.
And his home run in Houston, which was it was a game winner, it hit the wall high at Minute Maid Park, but it hit it in a place that's considered a home run. He wasn't sure of that because it was his first time playing in Minute Maid, so he kind of slowed down to begin with and said, oh, no, look at that. It really is a home run. But the most important thing to me was it was against Josh Hader. Ninth inning, there were two outs. They were down 1-0, and he had that two-run home run, so he got to beat Josh Hader, which is always a good thing in my book. Evan Carter, my guy from Texas. And was he your pick for rookie of the year?
Yeah,
so he started.
Maybe not.
Well, it's coming around. He started the season 0-15.
That's rough.
But his at-bats were pretty good. He had 7 walks before his first 2 hits. So his like plate, you know, he's careful. He's got a good eye. Then they went to Houston, and he went 5-for-9 in the first 2 games against Houston, including 2 doubles. So he's kicked back in to gear. Zach Neto, my guy from the Angels, went 0-for-7 over the first 4 games, and then he had a 4-game hitting streak. Missed, you know, did not hit the next game, and then Saturday versus Boston, he had 2 hits, and he had a steal that initially was called out, but then got reversed on the replay. He thinks that he'd never been on an opening day roster, and he thinks, I think the nerves got me. And it took him a couple days to work it out, and he worked it out. He's all right again. Joey Bart, my former Giants boyfriend, potty mouth the other day said, hey, did you know Joey Bart plays for Pittsburgh?
I was like, what?
And I said, what? Just like that. And then he had his first at bat for Pittsburgh yesterday. His first at bat, his first pitch was a home run.
Wow.
So welcome to Pittsburgh. Sadly, it was against the O's. So I was a little sad about it, but I was also a little happy about it. His next at bat, he doubled. So he went 2-for-5 in Pittsburgh's win over the O's. So Joey Bart had a good start. start. So that's, I think that feels pretty good for him.
I'm surprised because he was supposed to be being groomed by Buster Posey, right? Wasn't he going to be like the next long-term Giants guy?
He was really up and down, man. He had, you know, he had ruts, he had slumps, and, you know, ups and downs. He could not maintain a steady. So maybe Pittsburgh's going to be the place for him. Who knows?
Well, I hear they're fun there in Pittsburgh, right?
They are fun there. And they have this hot dog that you're not going to ever want.
Right.
But they showed it to me. And it's topped with pierogies, which is fine because I've had that in Cleveland. Big deal. But it's also topped with other things that you don't want to hear about. a carne of many kinds and pickles and all kinds of things. And oh, shoot. It's called the Renegade.
Oh, wow.
So when we go, I'm going to get it and walk somewhere else in the park to eat it so you don't have to watch because it's going to be ugly.
Yeah.
It's going to be ugly, but it looks super delicious.
They wouldn't be too hard to make a vegan version of that.
Well, one of the things it's topped with is brisket.
Okay, except for that. So, all right. Mr. Potty Mouth's vegan brisket would be awesome.
He makes a vegan brisket.
Yeah, he does.
We'll talk more later.
It's super good. So last week I talked a little bit about the biceps on the Red Sox between Tyler O'Neill and Jaron Duran and how one set of those biceps was being more productive. Oh, here comes more beer.
Woo!
That's a happy sound. And we can talk about the beer after we talk about the biceps, right? Yeah. So Jaron Duran's were not as productive as Tyler O'Neill. And Tyler O'Neill actually is, I wish I'd written down his stats. His OPS is crazy. It was like 1.450 today. So many big numbers. But Jaron Duran, who I do claim as a past baseball boyfriend, I had no reason to completely, you know, cut him off. He's a former boyfriend, my 22 pick, definitely a premature pick to say the least. He's doing all right now. He has come around in March. So granted, you know, we're talking weeks here because we're in like the whatever second week of baseball. In that week of March, his batting average was 125 with a 347 OPS. Since the beginning of April, he's now batting 571 with a 1323 OPS and 4 stolen bases. And the key is he dyed his hair back to the natural color. So the that week in March, he had this, like, it was shocking blonde. I think it was like more white. It was definitely bleach blonde puffing out the back of the helmet. And all of a sudden I noticed, and I'm not sure where in the week this happened, but it must have been connected, I think, to the batting. I mean, there's no other really logical reason that he's got his old hair back and, you know, it's working for him. So not everybody is meant to be a blonde is the moral of the story, I think.
I am. Just saying. All right, I am. Hey, so Steven Strasburg, I'm 35-year-old national until this morning, just announced his retirement officially. You may remember that he also announced his retirement back in August, and the Nats said, "We got some things to work out. You can't leave yet." Uh-huh. It was a lovely, lovely retirement announcement, in which, in part, he said, "Although I will always wish there were more games to be pitched, I find comfort knowing I left it all out there for the only team I've known." And that would be the Nats. And we saw him play so much. We saw him pitch so much. And then it was just, you know, injury after injury. He's a three-time All-Star. He was the MVP of the 2019 World Series. And as soon as that World Series was over, the Nationals, rightly at the time, signed him for a seven-year, $245 million contract. And since then, he's made eight starts because he's had not one knock him out completely injury, but injury after injury after injury. And this is one of the things that I think makes teams a little gun shy about signing pitchers, especially pitchers of a certain age, to long-term deals, because this happens time and time again. So there was a disagreement months ago about how to settle the contract, because he's owed, like, you know, $35 million a year, a bazillion dollars a year, yes, per year. The final deal, clearly a settlement has been made. The Nationals wanted to defer a lot of that income because they wanted to free up salary. I think I read that the current salary, 50% of the Nationals' current salary goes to Strasburg and Corbin.
Wow.
50%. So if they can start deferring Strasburg's salary to later, that frees up a lot of room to pay the guys who are actually playing the game and not cut Strasburg off, you know, short. He'll still get what he's due. It may take longer, and that's gotta be okay. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. But there we have it. He's finally officially announced retirement. And boy, he was great when he was available, and then he was just hurt in between everything over and over and over again.
Wasn't there, I mean, I have very weak brain cells on this. Wasn't there an issue when he was first coming up with the Nats of them being really cautious with his playing time to try to avoid something like this?
Yeah,
like
they absolutely did. And then still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You never know.
More about that in general in a few minutes.
All right. But before then, one of my favorite subjects here, Alex Verdugo, one of my least favorite former Red Sox players who went to the Yankees. And I wasn't feeling so bad about him going to the Yankees because I was kind of like, good riddance. He definitely has his strengths in play. But shall we say he has some weaknesses in character? And I don't have anything against showboating. I mean, this part, you know, flip your bat, wear your chains, wear your Dayglo sneakers. I don't care. Be you, be you. But he's going to the Yankees, and he was very cocky about going over to the Yankees and was doing a few digs against Alex Cora because last year he was benched for a couple times for things like, oh, showing up late to the ballpark or not hustling to first base. And yeah, you're going to get benched if you're going to be doing stupid shit like that.
There are some expectations for your job, showing up on time and actually doing the work.
So I don't know why he thought that being at the Yankees would be any easier than that.
Was he not paying attention? They have more rules than anyone.
Yeah. He was good with the shaving. He shaved right away. He was very happy to have that Yankees clean face and to put on those pinstripes. But he literally travels with a minimum of 6 chains. And they are honking chains. And he was wearing multiple. And Aaron Boone has imposed a 1-chain limit. Like the Yankees didn't have enough rules.
And you're specifically
rules.
Talking necklace. You're not talking like his wallet's not on a chain.
Right.
I mean, it's like wearing chains around your neck during gameplay.
Right. Which kind of, I mean, those things, can you thumping, you know, running around the bases? Some of those are honking. They're very
It's got to affect his sprint speed, man. Yeah. I mean, he wears so many.
Maybe that's why he's dawdling to first base. So he said, and this is, you know, the pain that Alex Verdugo is going through, quote, it's been kind of hard, man, because usually I'm used to wearing like 3 or 4.
Oh, poor baby.
It's going to be really hard on his play if you're used to wearing 3 or 4 chains and you can only wear 1. And so he was known when he was giving those digs toward Alex Cora, he said to the press that he was looking forward to be working for a coach who would, quote, have his back. I think what he didn't expect was that the quote that the coach would have his neck and his chains. When I was talking about this, you know, character to a recent house guest of ours, friend who does not know anything about baseball, and I said, Alex Verdugo, and he looked at me funny. He's like, Verdugo? Really? That kind of name? His name literally means, and I had no idea, executioner.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, like an executioner in the like chop off your head style of executioner. So
Verdugo?
I don't know. Yeah, Verdugo means executioner, which I did not know. Somebody
is he pulling one of your 6 chains?
That's might be it. Just to give another dig at the Yankees because I always take advantage of doing that. I don't think this was maybe it was April Fool's. I really should have cross-checked this. I did see one sign post with a sign of Yankee Stadium. So, okay, anybody out there can fact check me on this, that fans can pay $15 at the stadium to get a star insurance patch for their sleeves for their jerseys just like the big boys.
That's a Darwin test.
That's right. Anybody who actually does that. That would be adorable. Well, so I don't know.
Hey, take a break and tell us what we're drinking.
Oh, yeah. So we finished, and what will be featured in our Instagram post is Hissing Booth by Baby Cat Brewing, Kensington, Maryland, which is a super fun place, and they have great artwork on their cans, and that was a Munich Dunkel.
But wait, there was delicious, like vanilla and...
Yes, it says it has notes of toffee and vanilla. And it was like a little bit malty, but not too sweet. And actually, we're going pretty light on the alcohol for us tonight. It was only 4.6. And right now we're back with the old Wanderer, which has been, we're still wandering the past couple episodes, which is only, is that a 5 or 6? That's me.
Well, there we have it.
It's 5 by Treehouse Brewing Massachusetts.
Okay.
I'm going to just sit here and drink.
Okay. I'm going to talk about pitcher injuries because they're all the freaking time now.
I was hoping you would.
Just yesterday, we're recording on Sunday, so just Saturday, who knows if more happened today,
right.
Shane Bieber of the Guardians, who struck out 20 in his first 2 starts, is going to have season-ending Tommy John surgery on his right Elbow. That may be the end of his Guardians career because he's due to be a free agent at the end of the season.
Wow.
What a way to go out. Sorry, yeah. Guardians. I mean, you've been doing great this first week of baseball and crap. Yeah. Just crap. And then, you know, I picked Spencer Strider for Cy Young in my terrible, terrible prediction, which is, you know, annoying for me, but it's horrible. And I understand perspective. It's horrible for Spencer Strider, who had an MRI yesterday, which determined he's got a UCL tear, which usually results in Tommy John surgery. He had Tommy John surgery in 2019 when he was still at Clemson, but he's seeing a specialist to see if it really does need to go all the way to surgery or if there's some other thing he can do.
I think there's one more. I think Yuri Perez. Yep, Yuri Perez
yesterday
from the Nationals 3 days ago, undergoing Tommy John surgery. Yeah. Also, he had a good start and oops.
Yeah, there's a bunch. There are a bunch. Yeah, that I was just giving you just one day's worth, right? So Tony Clark of the Players Union, the MLBPA, released a statement which basically puts the blame on MLB changing the pitch clock rules from 20 seconds to 18 seconds when there are runners on, saying it was fine. You haven't tested out the pitch clock from last year yet. You don't know if it's causing injuries. Give it more time. And they didn't, and there's injuries. And so Tony Clark is saying, you know, it is A plus B equals C right here. The league came back and said, nope, not so fast. We actually have an ongoing study with Johns Hopkins University, which says it's not the clock. They're saying it's years and years of increased velocity and increased spin rate. And also, Major League Baseball noted, like in the case of Spencer Strider and so many others, that a lot of pitchers are coming into the major leagues already having had a serious injury, already having had Tommy John surgery or something else in previous years, which has them at a disadvantage already and probably more likely, more susceptible to further injury. Stay tuned for that. I don't know if the blame game is going to make a difference. I hope they are continue to study the pitch clock because they just changed the numbers. So I think, you know, they're like the 18 second instead of 20 second time. So I think I would love for them to let that play out a little bit and see if that has an effect, because these guys were dropping before the season started too, or right at the beginning of the season. So I don't think the pitch clock necessarily would have had an effect on, like, Giolito, for instance. I mean, that was, you know, a couple of those guys happened during spring training or so I just don't know, but boy, we're throwing the blame around pretty fast. And they might not be wrong. It probably contributes, but
But I just saw, I brought up a tweet on whatever X, what the fuck it is, Dr. James Andrews talking about how actually the problem is even worse in high school and in minor leagues, that there's more injury there than we're seeing in major league, and how that's going to trickle up is really scary. And just the fact that these young kids should be limited at a certain velocity and there's not enough limits on them in the early years and they're getting hurt. And just that, you know, like you're saying, for pitchers to be coming into the majors already with one or two surgeries under their belts is scary.
Yeah.
So what are we doing to these people?
What are we doing to these kids?
Oi. All right. Where are we? Well, we're going to move forward. Hoping that even though more women are playing, that this doesn't translate. I'm hoping that we have some sense when we're training young women as well. And women in college, the Baseball for All is doing all sorts of wonderful things this year. And just this past weekend was the Baseball for All Women's College Club Baseball Championships at the MLB Youth Academy in Compton, California. So it's always important and adds extra, you know, credence to when MLB is connected to women's baseball tournaments or championships. So there were six women's college club teams from around California and one in Seattle. And my biggest takeaway is that we need better press on this. It was just really hard to find names and to get a complete clear list of even the colleges. And when I went to the Baseball for All website, they had deets about last year's and the year before. So I'm guessing, assuming that this is the third annual, but I'm not 100% positive. So if anybody has more deets on that, please write into the show. We would love to hear it. And just a little by the way, while I was trying to look this up, This weekend was also the 14th annual Women's Championship in Venezuela, where there are 8 teams, each one from a different department, which is like not a state, but kind of like a state, coming together for a national championship. So
I'm picturing like HR and finance and those different departments.
Exactly, right, yeah. Something like that. No, it's more like Carabobo, you know, stupid face and Swategi and all, yeah.
Oh, thank you for just throwing that in just because we could.
There we go. Sure.
A public service announcement in our police blotter. If you are in a ballpark and you catch a ball, you have 3 choices. You may keep that ball. That ball is yours.
Automatically, as soon as it hits your hand.
It's your ball.
Okay.
You may send that ball to Meredith Wills so she can take it apart and decide if it's juiced or not. Or if it's a ball that has, that it's meaningful in some way, somebody's first something, it's a, you know, it's a, they've reached a certain record, anything that's notable, you can decide, you can negotiate with the team or the player.
What about throwing it back on the field?
There are 4 choices of what you can do.
Okay.
So, so 3 is you can negotiate.
Right.
4, I will give this back to the team or to the player who had this notable hit with this ball. Or you can throw it back on the field if it's a home run by the bad guys.
Yeah. Active protest.
Yes. So 4 things that you can do with that ball. Appears that the folks that work for the Dodgers are not clear on that concept. Shohei Ohtani hit his first home run as a Dodger while playing the Giants. And it was caught by Amber Roman, who's a longtime Dodger fan, who's at the game with her husband, very excited to catch the Shohei Ohtani first home run ball. This is fantastic. So, of course, when it's a notable ball like that, Major League Baseball authenticates it.
Yeah.
They mark it so everyone knows this is the one. This is absolutely the one where that this happened. It was, you know, it was his first or his 300th, right, or, you know, whatever it was. It gets authenticated. And if it's one of those situations, then staff will come and get you and say, let's go talk about this. Let's see what's behind door number 1. Mm-hmm. We would like this back. What's it worth to you? Sometimes they offer you cash. Sometimes you just almost always meet the player. Sometimes you get signed things, depending on how important it is. So Amber and her husband report back later that they had an awful time. They had a horrible time. They felt absolutely steamrolled. Apparently, Amber was not allowed to bring her husband with her. She was separated from her party, basically, and said she was surrounded by security and felt like she couldn't leave and was being pressured to give up the souvenir ball that she caught, which belongs to her. She felt very pressured. She ended up leaving with a couple of signed hats and balls and a bat. And when she said, no, I'm just going to keep the ball, the Dodgers said, well, we're not going to authenticate it, so it won't be worth anything.
That is so gross.
Again, hearsay. Right. I mean, this is what her report was. I don't know why she would lie about it.
Right.
But I was saying that this is what we know based on her interviews with the press afterwards about how horrible this experience was. An auction house said that ball could be worth $100,000, and they're giving her a couple of hats and a ball. Right. It's like, that's not okay. So it gets weirder that Shohei Ohtani said, "Oh yeah, I met the person who caught the ball, and they gave it back, and it was wonderful." She said, "No, we never met him."
That's
do not want Shohei Ohtani getting caught in lies, because that then we extrapolate to, if he lied for a stupid, easily proven wrong thing,
right?
We know, what did he know and when did he know it? See, you know, a previous week's betting scandal, right?
Yeah.
So that's poor everything to get caught in that lie. Why would you say that? The Dodgers got raked over the coals in social media for this. So they reached back out to Amber and they invited her and her husband for a future game, which happens to be on her birthday, for a big on-field experience where she will, in fact, meet players. And she's got like field-level seats for a game. So they're like apologizing for the kerfuffle. Good. And they say that they are reviewing their procedures. So here's the thing, folks. Again, you have 4 choices. Hey, the ball is yours. You can walk out with that ball. Make sure they authenticate it, because they have to authenticate it.
Yeah.
You can then do with it what you want. If you are interested in giving it back and making a trade, you can do that with the team or with the player. You can send that ball to Meredith, or you can throw that ball back on the field, depending on how you're feeling in that moment. But the choice is yours.
Yeah.
Don't be bullied.
I feel like Shohei Ohtani has lost so much of his gleam, you know? I think there was the whole, everybody fighting over him, and he ends up at the Dodgers and the whole feeling around that. But now between the betting scandal and this, he used to be like the child who could do no wrong. Yeah. And now people are really doubting
him. It's a little tarnished.
Yep. So yeah. Spotlight will continue on that guy.
I bet there's more guys who aren't so shiny.
I was going to say, there, you could do so much worse. You could do so much worse. So just looking a little bit at the same time that MLB is playing, you know that LMB, the Liga Mexicana de Baseball, is also playing south of the border. Except for LMB, I was trying to figure a good, like, alternative acronym here, and all I could come up with, lots of motherfucking bullies, because that seems to be what's happening. It just so bums me out.
Are they bullies or are they
out.
Bastards?
Maybe bastards. Yeah. Yeah. Boneheads.
Boneheads? Tell us about them, then we'll
have to Okay. Yeah, if you have any suggestions for alternative Bs, please let me know. But the Diablos Rojos, I believe the Red Devils, are... I talked about maybe a couple weeks ago that Trevor Bauer played for them when they were playing in that exhibition game against the Yankees, and he did that to get attention, and they also signed him on for 4 more games. So he is sort of like a mini devil, right? Part-time devil. He's definitely a full-time devil.
Full-time devil.
Yeah, but part-time on the field. They are now talking to Julio Rios, who we've talked about plenty on this show, because he had not just one, but 2 suspensions for domestic violence. I was trying to find out where the state is from his last one, because it was at the end of last year.
He's on administrative suspension. They haven't come to conclusions yet. The investigation is still active.
Yeah.
So he hasn't been prosecuted for anything yet. He hasn't been determined guilty, but he is still being investigated for his second domestic violence infringement.
And I think he would have been a free agent now. I think he no longer belongs to the Dodgers.
Yes, he is
so
free of
he's
team.
Just, yeah, hanging out there. So he might be going there. The talks have started. And I thought, geez, you know, if they've got these 2 winners, what else is going on? And there was like this handy list of the 5 guys who are playing. I was like, oh, my God. So Yasiel Puig is also, he's not on the Devils, but he is with El Águila de Veracruz. And he, you know, many cases settled against him. I lost count on the accusations, to tell you the truth, against Yasiel Puig. They're very suspicious. But, yep, he's in Mexico. He did very well in Venezuela in the offseason and was hoping to win his place back into Major League Baseball. Did not happen. Same with Trevor Bauer. Also, another favorite abuser of ours, Addison Russell, who we talked about a couple years ago when his ex-wife really detailed the abuse in a blog horrifically. He's playing with the Acereros de Monclova. So I am not going to be doing much reporting on MLB because I do not want to watch.
LMB.
LMB, yes. MLB, plenty. Other leagues, plenty. Mexican baseball, not so much, because I am not happy about this. It's just gives me the, you know, heebie-jeebies, just a little itchy, as does the next international thing that I'm going to mention here. Baseball United, I have been suspicious of from the beginning.
Yes, you have.
And this is the organization based in Dubai, the United Arab Emirates, with a lofty goal of bringing and Cash, the guy who's running it all, who must have a bazillion dollars, his goal is to create 1 billion new baseball fans in the Middle East and the Indian continent. So that sounds fine, but it started getting really weird with all these former players who are signing on. And I'm kind of like, how did he get them in there? They're investing money. So I guess they're investing in this concept of, okay, we're bringing baseball to a place where there's no baseball, and this guy is really gung-ho about it. However, they just signed on Ronald Acuña Jr. And I was looking around at the other. They have 19 mostly former MLB players.
Wait, you said signed on, as a player.
Not as a player, as an investor, co-owner, and active ambassador. So I think it's, and I'm trying to like piece this apart a little bit. I think all these co-owners are putting in money. I mean, these are wealthy former Major League Baseball players. Ronald Acuña Jr. said, "It's a blessing to help grow the game with such an incredible group of owners. See you soon in Riyadh." So I guess he's planning on going over there whenever the fuck they're going to play. Because at this point, they announced the league, they announced the teams, they announced where all these former MLB stars like Big Sexy and Robinson Cano and a whole bunch of others where they were going to play. Well, Cano is in there too.
Oh, is he really?
Yep. Cano is one of the owners. He was one of the ones who was actually on the team and who actually played in the All-Star game.
Right. I apologize.
So before they even played a season, they had this All-Star game, right, with randomly guys on one side or the other. So Acuña is the fourth Venezuelan out of the 19 mostly former MLB players, including Robinson Chirinos, Felix Hernandez, and Elvis Andrus. So what I'm thinking is these guys, and we, especially when we talk so much about a lot of the guys giving back to the DR, and I know that and Jordan Diaz does a lot in Colombia, and there are other guys I know who are giving back in Venezuela. Why are they sending their money to Dubai, to the United Arab Emirates, to create baseball there? Their first full season is finally being announced. It is planned for winter 2025. I don't know whose winter that is, actually. I don't know what months are attached to winter in Dubai.
Good question.
But apparently, they're going to be announcing their plans this summer, along with, and I quote, expansion franchises. So this is a league that hasn't even fucking played yet. And they're announcing expansion franchises.
As opposed to, say, additional franchises. Like, right. We're still building up.
Right. Expansion. Like, we're expanding. And the first franchise that is linked is Saudi Arabia. So if you look into the details of the politics in both the United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia, and yes, you know, former international relations major me did a little bit of diving into that. More than a quarter of the Middle East and Africa's financial wealth is in those two countries, about a quarter in the Arab Emirates and 21% in Saudi Arabia, but also a large proportion, and actually those are the, well, close enough, you guys aren't going to fact check me, right? A large proportion, about a quarter in each of those countries of that wealth is from, quote, ultra high wealth individuals. So this is sort of, this is maybe royalty in the United, in both countries, because both, you know, essentially monarchies. These are people who are worth individually more than $100 million. So both of these countries, not only are they not democracies, not only are they based on a lot of oil wealth and a lot of concentrated wealth in these ultra rich individuals, but they're horribly oppressive. They're oppressive toward women. Women can't drive in Saudi Arabia, and we're doing our first expansion team there, really? And as far as LGBTQ oppression, it's horrific, both countries. So why are all these former players investing in these countries that are oppressive? And yes, and bringing baseball to a billion people, please do that. However, I would think that there would be sort of a nicer way to do it. And giving back to Venezuela would be really good. Last year, inflation dropped to 190% from 234% the year before. So things are really rough where Ronald Acuña Jr. is coming from and a lot of these other players. And I just feel like their investment money, I feel like they're being swindled. I feel like there's got to be some sales pitch by Baseball United that seems to be just sucking everybody in. And there's a lot of Dominican players too. I'm not saying that it's just Dominicans who are giving back. But I don't know, you know, take it with a grain of salt, people, and let me know if you have any more dirt on this, because I just get all the little flags are flying, you know, bing, bing, antennas going up. I just feel like something's wrong.
Yeah. I don't know if it just looks like a money grab.
Yeah.
Or what it is, and not so much, hey, let's grow the game.
Right. Right. Yeah.
We're having our little fantasy league here, and it's only a week and a little bit in, and we are changing every single day.
That's so good.
Tall Boys, formerly Short Kings, Tall Boys are leading us, and they're in number one spot. Karen's Crew number two, the Sunny Slammers number three, the Wicked Awesome Team is in fourth place, followed by me, the Patty Kamish Team, followed by Bono's Boyfriends, who I just know is going to, oh, actually, am I tied? No, I'm winning. I'm beating. No, we're tied.
So close.
We are tied. Again, we take these stats first thing Sunday morning before the Sunday games start, so it's probably a little bit different it now. Bring back Renault. And then Potty Mouth's Posse, mm-hmm. number 8, the kids at number 9. And Razzle Dazzle has joined us. They had sat out initially, and they jumped back in. So they've got some catching up to do because they're a few games behind. But that's our 1 through 10 fantasy league, and it's super fun.
Yeah, so huge welcome to Razzle Dazzle. Thanks for coming up. And I think Razzle Dazzle found out that there are a lot of really good, like, that's a good lineup. So I think there's definitely some catching up to do. I don't understand. Well, I mean, I got some work to do because my aforementioned problems, I think, are affecting my performance. However, the kids still haven't filled out their lineup. Like, they've got a lot of holes, and I have at least a full team, and I'm still tied with them at almost the bottom. But who knows? Tomorrow's a new day. The sun will rise, and all sorts of great things will happen.
Sure, that's it. Hey, there's New City Connect jerseys out. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about those in our extra for Patreon folks, so please feel free to join us over in the world of Patreon. So we have some facts for you to check. We have some ideas for you to share, and we have an acronym for you to help us fill out. So please find us on social media to do those things.
You can find us on X, Twitter, or Blue Sky at NCIB Podcast. Facebook and Instagram are No Crying and B-Ball. And if you want to join us on Patreon for all the fun, it does not take a lot. We have subscriptions or memberships or whatever you want to call it. Just join us for fun, starting at $1 a month, and that's Patreon, patreon.com/nocryingandbball, and we can converse with you there and take your ideas and just join us. It's a lot of fun.
So please get your booster, Fight the Man is the right thing to do. Send your game balls to Meredith, or just take them home, or throw them back on the field, or negotiate for what they're worth. Until next week, say goodnight, Potty Mouth.
Good night, Potty Mouth.
Your sound looks weird.
Why
are you
really
weird?
Low.
Oh, nature, nurture. I mean, the list. It could be anything.
Yeah.